Hey, everybody. Movie retrospective time. Guess what one we're doing today? This one won the Patreon poll by a landslide. I think the other movies in the poll only got one vote. Okay. Like, that was
everybody
it.
Wanted this one.
Everybody wanted this one.
This one is Young Frankenstein.
A fucking classic.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
From 1974.
Yeah. Yeah, back when everybody was pretty. Yeah. Terry Garr pretty. Fucking everybody was pretty in the movie. Fucking, was it Madeline Kahn?
Madeline Kahn was in there.
What was the other chick? Fucking, she dressed up as an old chick, but she wasn't old.
Cloris Leachman. I mean, I think she was older than the others, but she wasn't. Not I don't think much. She was as old as she portrayed.
Even
in the
Gene
movie.
Wilder's pretty in this.
Yeah,
he was a good looking guy. You know,
he
you
was
kind
actually.
Of forget that. Yeah, he had his hair all done. And he did a couple tap dance numbers and stuff, and his tuxedo and tails, along with fucking Frankenstein. And he was just kind of a class act, that guy. He really made this movie.
Well, the thing about it, what's interesting about this, obviously, this is a Mel Brooks movie. This actually came out the same year as Blazing Saddles, which I forgot. I was like, so that's two fucking brilliant movies.
Yeah.
Coming out the same year.
I haven't seen either one of these in fucking forever. This one, I hadn't seen it in decades. I was worried about how it would age. No, it aged pretty well. It's kind of like Ed Wood.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this one, I mean, I know Mel Brooks did a lot of sort of, I guess you'd call them like parody sort of films, right? I mean, Blazing Saddles was like a parody of the Western genre. You know, he did Spaceballs, which was like a sci-fi thing. You know, he did Robin Hood, Men in Tights. And I feel like there's kind of a thing, I think nowadays, they do make some decent sort of parody films nowadays, but I think that a lot of parodies sort of fall into that thing where it's just like a bunch of gags and like a bunch of jokes and it doesn't really work as an actual movie.
Yeah, and they tend not to age well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at stuff like, you know, the Scary Movie franchise, which was kind of like, you know, they were ripping off Scream, but then they also did gags from like whatever horror movies were popular. And that's just like, they sort of have a plot, but it's mostly just a bunch of gags like, hey, we're just recreating this scene from, you know, whatever horror movie, except with tits or something like that. And it's just, it doesn't really hang together that well. I mean, you had other parodies like Shaun of the Dead and stuff like that that were actually brilliant movies in their own right. But I really do think that Young Frankenstein, I don't know, I'd be hard pressed to say if, I think Blazing Saddles is slightly funnier, but Young Frankenstein is the better movie all around. And I'm always going to prefer Young Frankenstein because I really, really like horror movies, and I really, really like the Universal movies. And this, and Young Frankenstein is a parody of the first three Frankenstein movies. You got, you know,
Pookie just threw the door open.
Well, hi, Pookie.
Yeah, what's up?
Pookie wanted to be in the Young Frankenstein review.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's not just a parody of like the first Frankenstein movie. It also has bits from Bride of Frankenstein and some stuff from Son of Frankenstein. Like that whole bit with the police inspector with the wooden arm and like the darts and everything.
That was a great character. He was awesome in this.
That character was in Son of Frankenstein, the original one, like from the original and it's exaggerated.
Yeah.
But not by as much as you might think.
He was on par with that character reminded me of a lot of Dr. Strangelove. He was that good.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Sellers in the fucking Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
And you know, he also kind of had a prosthetic arm, but it was like an over the top Germanic sounding character. I don't know if it was you said it was inspired based upon an original character.
Son of Frankenstein.
Son of Frankenstein. But that guy, seeing him kind of just brought back memories. He's an iconic character in this movie. And one of the good things about this movie is that you could watch this as a straight horror movie. It plays the horror aspect in some ways kind of straight in terms of tone. It felt like I was watching the old Frankenstein, but then there just funny shit's happening during it. It's weird. You just had to see it for yourself.
Yeah, I was reading something. I think it was on the AV Club or something like that. And they were saying this is one of the very few parody movies that's still really funny, but you can cut the comic bits out and it still plays as like a straight.
Exactly.
Horror film.
A classic old horror film.
And it's almost kind of like, I think the guy, James from Cinemassacre, I think he basically said this plays out because a lot of the original Universal movies, like Bride of Frankenstein and stuff, had humor in them. So it's like, it's almost kind of like this could have been made back then.
It does. If you were to take the humor mostly out and watched it, it still would have unfolded like a good Universal horror flick from back in the days. It would have been very watchable.
Oh, yeah.
Without the humor. But they took something that was good and they made it even better. With and a lot of the humor in this is because of the strength of the cast.
Oh, yeah. It,
they got a great cast who really knows how to deliver this material. And Wilder is fucking, you can tell that he's having a ball with this. So Terry Garr, you know, everybody was gave this like 100%, including the guy who played Frankenstein. What was his name?
Peter Boyle.
Yeah, he did a great job too. I mean, this movie is packed with talent and soul. The movie has fucking soul, and it aged very well, which I can't say that for everything Mel Brooks. Like, I used to love History of the World when I was a kid. I used to watch it all the time on HBO when it played. I saw it recently, and the humor didn't age very well. But I think Blazing Saddles probably would have aged
better.
Blazing
Saddles is still funny.
And I want to see Stir Crazy again. I remember liking it, and I think that that might have aged well. I'd like to see Stir Crazy again.
Yeah, some things like from back then have aged really well. And Young Frankenstein, I think, really did, because it wasn't of its time. It was parodying something much older.
Was Stir Crazy Mel Brooks?
No.
It wasn't?
No,
okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. That just had Gene Wilder in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to see that one again just because I remember really liking it. It had Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. A lot of the appeal of Young Frankenstein is Wilder. Without him, this movie would not have been the same. It wouldn't have been as good.
I mean, the awesome thing about this, too, one, I've heard that the set of this movie, like, when they were working on it, they were all having a fucking blast.
Oh, man. Yeah, you
like,
can tell.
You know, and because they were all friends, a lot of them had worked together before.
The energy. You can feel the energy.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff, like, a lot of the really funny shit that's in it, is actually ad-libbed. And just, like, so funny, so they kept it.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, these were all, you know, professional comedic actors, and a lot of them had worked with each other before, so they were very used to kind of just like playing into.
Yeah, and Brooks was evidently a great director, especially when he was bumping coke. When he was on coke, that's when he was his best. You know, Spaceballs wasn't that good, but even when that came out, I was like, eh, and it didn't age well. But this one right here, this one goes down in history. I think it's at least in the top three Mel Brooks movies. High Anxiety, I remember being pretty good too.
Yeah, a lot of people said, like, kind of, oh, and the producers. You gotta say, like, the producers is really good too. Gene Wilder was also in that one.
And I've never seen Springtime for Hitler.
Well, that's the producers. The
producers, is that what
that's
called? Okay.
That was, right. Well, that was.
I wanna see that one.
The producers was about them making a musical called Springtime for Hitler.
Okay, that's I thought what, that was the name of that movie.
No, no, no. That's
okay, all right. Yeah, I gotta see that one.
Well, the thing about this movie, Gene Wilder actually came up with the idea for this. He says, because, like I said, him and Mel Brooks had worked on The Producers prior, and Gene Wilder also was a co-writer on that, too. And he came to Mel Brooks, and he said, I want to do a Frankenstein parody, just like the Universal movies. And Mel Brooks was kind of like, I don't know. They've made so many of them. I don't know if I like that idea. But then Gene Wilder was like, yeah, but I want it to be like a relative of the famous Dr. Frankenstein, but he doesn't want to do it. And Mel Brooks is like, okay, that's funny. So let's write that. Gene Wilder essentially like wrote this. They just came up with the script. Like they just sat together and came up with it. And a lot of the gags that are like really iconic, should they say, like the whole putting on the Ritz with with Dr. Frankenstein and the monster.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder really, really wanted that in the movie. And I don't know if Mel Brooks was like, he was like, I think that's too silly. I don't think that'll like work. But Gene Wilder was apparently so adamant. He's like, please, please, please. We have to have this in the movie. It's going to be so awesome. And then finally, like Mel Brooks was like, okay, we can keep it in there.
Yeah. And that was kind of an homage to King Kong, I think, because remember how when they captured King Kong, they made him perform for a live audience. And then later he was chained up during that time. Well, later when they show, when they show Frankenstein, the Frankenstein monster, he's chained up kind of the way they had King Kong chained up. So I think they were kind of doing a King Kong shout out, I think, during that time.
Well, but there was a scene in one of the Frankenstein movies too, where he had that. And then there was like the window in the back.
They put on a show, a black tie show.
Well, no.
Yeah. That was like out of King Kong. Remember when they unveiled King Kong down in New York, that was in front of a black tie audience.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. It's a great movie, you know, and just this man, fucking Gene really fucking knocked it out of the park. Great cast. I just liked it.
The thing about it, like I said, if if you're going to watch Young Frankenstein, I mean, and you should, if you haven't seen it, what the fuck is even wrong with you? I mean, this is like one of the best comedy movies ever made.
What's funny about the shit with Wilder is that a lot of the stuff that Wilder does, if somebody else did it, it wouldn't be funny. It's not so much what he's saying. It's the attitude he's taking and how he's delivering it. There's certain things that Wilder could do. You know what I mean? Like, he just through enunciation, he could make something funny just by the way he said it.
Yeah, some people are just natural comedians. He is just a naturally funny person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's kind of rare.
Yeah.
But the great thing about him, and you could kind of see this when he was in, you know, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory as well, is that I love that he could play like really straight and really serious.
Yeah.
And that was still funny.
Yeah,
but
it was
then,
still funny.
But then you didn't know when he was just going to go like fucking off the deep end and just like he had some like an unpredictability to him.
He always seemed like he was just on the edge of really fucking up. You're talking about like he could explode at any moment.
Yeah.
It's like he's on the edge of sanity. Yeah. But he was funny. He was funny as fuck. Yeah.
I mean,
and the humor aged well because it wasn't so joke/dialogue dependent. It was a lot of physical humor and just the way certain things were delivered, and they're obviously performing a story and embellishing it, and the actors are fucking with each other. And I didn't realize it was ad-libbed, but
it
makes more sense now that it was ad-libbed, because sometimes the way they would respond, especially Wilder and Terry Garr playing off each other.
Yeah.
And Terry Garr, she's young as hell on this, fucking really funny and super, super cute in it.
You know? I think this was her first major role.
Yeah.
You know what
Everybody
I mean?
In the movie's attractive in some way. You know, they're like larger than life personalities.
It's
like,
I was thinking in particular when I was thinking about the ad libs. So, you know, the scene near the beginning where Frederick, as Igor calls him.
Yeah.
But when he's saying goodbye to Madeline Kahn at the train station, and she's like, he's trying to like hug her and kiss her, and she's just like, oh, my hair, and oh, this, and this and that and the other.
Yeah.
And one of the best things is he finally gets on the train and he blows her a kiss, and she moves like out of the way. And that was ad-libbed also.
What's his name again? What's the guy played Igor? What's his
Marty Feldman.
This guy, man. I mean, that dude is so strange looking. His eyes and just the way he's standing and everything he's doing, he's just playing up kind of like the oddity that is this guy. But he's kind of mesmerizing in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that role obviously was written specifically for him.
I don't know how he's getting his eyes to bug out, because sometimes
they look like that. He had a thyroid condition.
Okay, thyroid.
That kind of like it was like inflammatory and it like affected his eyes.
Sometimes his eyelids are opened almost like an eighth of an inch above and below the damn iris.
That's
much white showing. But sometimes it's not as much. Depends on what his expressions were. It almost looked like he had some kind of special skill that he could open his eyes that far.
No, but they always look like that.
They always like that.
Yeah, it's called, what's it called? Graves ophthalmology something or other.
He's slightly cross-eyed. And it's just it's bizarre, man. Real fucking bizarre. But he plays right into it. He leans into this character. Nobody else could have done that role. Nobody else could have done that role.
No, definitely not. No. I was I was reading his Wikipedia page. Sadly, he died pretty young. But he had like a thyroid condition from earlier. And he was saying something like, and he was actually in a bunch of stuff like British TV and things like that, you know, comedy. He was a comedian. And before he even did Young Frankenstein, so he was pretty well established. And they asked him about, you know, he's like, I don't know if I would have got so much work if I didn't look so weird, because he's like, I could probably have surgery and have all this fixed, but it's like, then I'd just be like a random ass actor that looked like everybody else. Yeah. So he attributed his career to like how weird he looked.
Kind of like the guys from Hills Have Eyes.
It's like you might as well just make it work for you. You know what I mean? But like I said, he died in his 40s. Like he had a heart attack on the set of Yellowbeard. Do you remember that? Like that pirate movie that came out in 83?
Yeah,
and that was his last movie. Like he died while he was in the hotel, like at the, but they said, well, Mel Brooks said it might've been because he smoked about 2 cartons of cigarettes a week and drank endless amounts of coffee. And he was just like,
what was funny is that you could tell during one of the scenes that he was doing some, he did like a little bit of light acrobatics when he was coming down the stairs.
Remember? Yeah. With
the, And he's wearing a pretty cool outfit. It was like a cloak that went over. And underneath that cloak, sometimes he'd throw his arms back. It was kind of like a black, real tight-fitting unitard.
Yeah, it was like a unitard.
With, like, shorts over it and little goth pixie boot-looking things. And it looked like something out of an old 1930s horror movie. But you could tell he was real physically fit in terms of, like, he was extremely lean. Hard to believe that he was drinking that much. Without gaining a whole bunch of weight. Well, he had thyroid problems, so I'd imagine that would probably keep you pretty fucking slow.
Well, it was coffee he was coffee? Drinking. They said that he was like a coffee addict. Yeah. Also, he smoked a lot.
Yeah.
That's what Mel Brooks said.
He was real slim. I would say 135, 140 pounds.
Yeah, he was a little dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the whole gag about, like, the hump changing sides and then, like, him not even... being aware of the hump, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I could fix that for you. And he's like, fix what? He's like, the hump. What hump? And then, like, there would be a scene. I think you missed it because I think you were in the bathroom. But it's like, it was on the other side. And then Gene Wilder's like, wasn't that on the... And then, like, he's looking at him like he didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, I mean, this fucking movie, I feel like this movie has so saturated the public consciousness. Like I said, I was reading an article that came out a few years ago about it on AV Club, and it seemed like there was like 300 or 400 comments, and almost all of them were like quoting from the fucking movie. Yeah. Just because everybody loves this fucking movie. It's just like, it has so many great iconic fucking scenes. It's just the whole thing with Frau Blücher and like the fucking horse whinnying every time they say her name.
Yeah, and she's exasperated over it. You can't say her name without the damn horses going crazy.
And it's like, I've even watched a couple of reviews of this by like younger guys, and every time they say Frau Blücher in there, they have like a horse whinny sound effect, which I thought about doing, but then I was like, well, probably everyone will do that, so I'm not gonna do it. Okay, so like I said, everybody in this is awesome. I particularly love, there's a couple scenes in this that I really, really love. I really love the scene early on in the movie where Gene Wilder is giving the lecture, like, to the medical students, right? And he plays so much of that just completely straight. And he's just in there and he's just like drawing the brain thing because he's a neurosurgeon or whatever. And he's like drawing the brain thing on the board. And then he has that, well, actually, motherfucker that like stands up in the fucking front row. And it's like, you know, keeps calling him Frankenstein. Even he's like, my name is Frankenstein.
Trying to distance himself from his grandfather who made the Frankenstein monster. It's pretty cool, man. I liked it.
And then him like stabbing himself in the leg with the fucking scalpel and then trying to like play it off. It's just kind of like, like him having a freak out over it.
Tonally, visually, I mean, the humor's different, but kind of similar. If you liked Ed Wood, you would like this movie. It's a little more over the top than Ed Wood because, you know, it's not about an actual person, of course, you know, but it just reminded me of that movie in certain ways. Not just because it was just black and white, just the visual and the spiritual tone behind it. It's just a good movie.
Well, you can tell that Tim Burton was really influenced by this movie in particular, like when he made Ed Wood.
Okay.
Another thing about this, too, is that Mel Brooks, he specifically wanted this to look like I said, a Universal movie from the 1930s. So he did the same thing with like all of the different kind of wipes and stuff like that they used to do. He used the same cinematography and he insisted, he's like, this is going to be shot in black and white. Now, the first studio, because I think he went to Columbia first, and they were like, no, you have to shoot it in color. And he's like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. And they were trying to like trick him because they were like, oh, well, you can shoot it in, well, you shoot it in color and then we'll show it in black and white. He's like, bullshit, I'm not doing that because you're just going to like show it in fucking color. So he finally went to 20th Century Fox and they said, fine, you can do it in black and white. So he did. And so, like I said, the cinematography, the way the, you know, the scene transitions, the way it's shot is pretty much exactly like a movie from that era. And I think that's really cool that they stuck to their guns and said, we want it to look exactly like that. And the scene too, like in the lab, when they bring the monster to life, almost all of the equipment in the background, that was all the equipment from the original Frankenstein movies, which somebody had it, like just stored it. And he's like, yeah, it's just in my garage or something like that. And Mel Brooks goes to the dude's house. He's like, can we rent this?
Yeah.
And the dude was like, sure.
Yeah.
So the guy came and like set it all up. I can't remember his name, but he came and set it all up for them and showed them like how it worked and shit like that. And I'm like, that's pretty fucking awesome. Also, the whole thing too with I was gonna say Gene Hackman.
Oh yeah,
being
yeah,
the blind man, which like I said, that was a parody of a scene from Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah. And Gene Hackman was actually, I don't think he was actually even supposed to be in the movie, but he was working on a movie, or he was like playing tennis with Gene Wilder, like they were friends or something. And he was kind of like, hey, Gene, what have you guys been working on? He's like, oh, we're doing this Frankenstein parody and stuff like that. And Gene's like, can I be in it?
Yeah.
And Gene's like, sure, if you want. Well, because at this point you have to think like Gene Hackman had written, had, you know, been in a bunch of movies. He had like won some Oscars at this point, but I don't think he'd done any comedy prior to this, but he wanted to kind of like expand. So he wanted to do something funny. So they said, well, yeah, we can do this like parody of this blind man scene and you can be the blind man. And he fucking killed it.
Yeah.
He killed it.
Good job.
And I mean, even that shit about the end, like where he was saying where the monster like took off and he was like, no, wait, come back. And there's like a big long pause. He's like, I was just going to make espresso. That was also an ad lib.
Another thing about the movie is that it's strangely, not only is it funny, it's sexual. It's got a fucking good sexual sense of sexual humor. Like, Frankenstein's a size monster. Okay? And there are certain kind of women that like the size, that gets into there. What else gets into there?
Well,
the difference between size and brains, and then how sometimes that shit can work out. There's a lot of themes in there. Fucking funny. The idea that you may not actually be banging your fiance, you might be banging the secretary, basically. But then that works out.
Well, yeah, because Madeline Kahn ended up liking the monster better.
Yeah, all right, you know, I'm looking for something else. Yeah. yeah. So there's all kinds of fucking funny shit in there, you know what I mean? It wouldn't fly today, but it fucking, to me, it aged well.
Well, no, because it's pretty mild sexual humor. It's pretty much all just innuendo.
Yeah.
So I feel like even like a little kid watched it, they probably wouldn't know what they were talking about.
I saw it as a little kid, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
Because I feel like Blazing Saddles was kind of more, they had like a lot of racial jokes, they had a lot of fart jokes, stuff like that.
That wouldn't fly.
This one was kind of more sexual humor, but in sort of like a cute,
it was tasteful
way. Yeah, it's not like,
you want to have a roll in the hay. That was fucking funny shit, man.
Well, the thing about it is that it was Mel Brooks's idea. He's like, you know, we want to have like some kind of, you know, innuendo and like sexual stuff in the movie, but he's like, it would be funnier if we gave all the lines to Terry Garr, who was just kind of like this innocent sort of character. And it's like, so every time she says something sexual, she doesn't realize that it's sexual.
You know what I mean?
It's like, and then, so it's makes Gene, it like way funnier.
Yeah. And it just shows Gene's face and he's trying to like going,
what knocker?
Is there anything I can do for you? And he's like, and it fucking cuts away. She's rubbing on his fingers and shit. If there's anything I can do to release your tension. It's fucking funny shit.
I mean, it's like every fucking scene of this is like a fucking classic scene. Yeah. I just feel like there's so many that it's like you could just sit here all day and just like recite all the good shit. And I had forgotten, you know what I had forgotten too? That parody of the scene where the monster gets out and then meets the little girl. You know what it's like? It's parodying the first scene where, you know, in the first Frankenstein, where Frankenstein accidentally drowns that girl and like throws her in the river because he thinks she's going to float. And so I love that they kind of parodied that, where it's like the little girl's throwing flowers down a well. the flowers all gone. Yeah. Now what should we throw down there? Yeah, and then the monster kind of looks
at the camera like... That's not what happens.
But they actually
saved the girl. They don't kill the girl in there. Because had they killed the girl, they wouldn't have had been able to do the big unveiling and the dance routine.
Yeah.
Because he'd have been a wanted man.
So
they couldn't have been a happy ending. Because this one, unlike the normal Frankenstein movies, has a happy ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frankenstein hooks up. He was gifted.
Well, yeah, they do like a brain transfer. Because I mean, Gene Wilder, like, because it's unlike the original story, because the whole point of the original novel was that Dr. Frankenstein made this thing and then refused to take responsibility for it, which is what caused all of these, you know, bad things to happen. So it was kind of like, you know, about hubris or whatever. But this one is kind of more like makes Dr. Frankenstein, who's not actually the actual Dr. Frankenstein, he's like his great grandson or whatever, And his grandson or his great grandson, I can't remember. And
his grandson.
Yeah.
Because it was his grandfather.
Well, yeah, because it was his great grandfather Baron von that had the box that they brought the box. Oh, but it? Then he said it was his grandfather that was
who
Victor.
Made the monster.
Yeah. But yeah, so the fact that he is a better person and he creates the monster, but then he takes responsibility for the monster and he's like, I'll give him part of my brain so he can be a normal person instead of like a lumbering creature. You know, and he gets, you know, his...
Gets something in return.
He gets something in return.
Yeah, he gets something out of it. What did you get out of that? He's just looking at the camera.
The close
up. Next thing you hear her fucking going, doing the yodeling and shit. You know exactly what he got out of that. At least he got some of that.
And I got to say, too, I love that last scene with Madeline Kahn and the monster. Like, the monster's got on his jammies and his glasses, and he's in the bed reading the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. And she comes out of the bathroom with the fucking Bride of Frankenstein hair. And like the fucking...
she's in her teddy and shit. She's in her teddy.
And then she does that.
She's trying to entice him. He's looking at the camera fucking smirking and shit.
Funny. Yeah. I mean, I love Madeline Kahn. It's like, she wasn't in this a lot. She was only like in the beginning and like a little bit at the end. But she's just so fucking great in this. And it's just, I mean, oh my God. So
she
fucking
also
funny.
Looked great.
Yeah.
Even Frau, what's her name? Fucking who was
Frau
like,
Blücher.
Yeah, even Frau Blücher, fucking, she was strangely hot in this.
He was my boyfriend.
They have her made up to look a little older than she really is. She's probably only about 40, I would think, in real life. But they kind of tried to make her look like she was 60 or something.
Yeah, well, because I feel like she was still, when they did, because I think fairly recently, I don't remember what year it was, but fairly recently they did a musical version of this, like a live, like a theater musical. And Cloris Leachman was still alive then because they asked her to reprise her role as Frau Blücher.
Real
she
skinny,
ended up not being able to do it.
Real skinny, kind of ghostly, gaunt, spooky, kind of like a female version of Peter Cushing. That's what she kind of looked like. That's kind of what they had her made up. And she was ghostly looking. Every time she said her name, the fucking horses would go crazy. Lightning would strike. And then she'd be like,
that's still funny, like, every single time. And then I love they had that one, like, it kept doing it, and everybody's like, what the fuck? And then, like, there's, like, a pause, and then Marty Feldman pops out, and he's like, Blücher! So it's like the fucking dude. But, so the thing with, another thing that was an ad lib was when Gene Wilder first gets to the castle, and Frau Blücher is up there, like, trying to ask him if he wanted anything, like, if he wanted some brandy or something before he goes to bed, and he's just like, no, I'm really tired. And then she starts walking away, and she's like, warm milk? He's like, no,
she's
thank you.
Come on to him.
Ovaltine?
No.
That
so
was
first she asked him for a brandy. Would you like a brandy? And she's definitely coming on to him. And he's like, no. Yeah, then warm milk. No, that would be it. She just keeps trying to talk her way up into his jeans. It didn't work because she was screwing around with his grandfather or father.
Yeah.
Or one of the
grandfather.
And they looked exactly alike. He looked cool, but Wilder looked really cool in this flick. He kind of had a hairdo that, like, you'd maybe see out of Sweeney Todd or something, but it was blonde. And he just, they kind of had him in old 1930s style stage makeup, you know, with the eyeliner and stuff, the way you do in an old horror movie. He just looked cool running around in them doctor's outfits and, you know, top hat and tails, and just like out of an old Universal film, you know. And I think this is maybe one of his strongest movies. I mean, it's hard to kind of beat his performance in Willy Wonka from what I remember. I got to see Blazing Saddles, and I got to see Stir Crazy again. I'll eventually come up with the best Wilder movie, but this one's got to be up there.
I mean, I think I like his performance in this one the same reason that I like his performance in Willy Wonka, is because, like you said, he seems like he's teetering just on the edge of sanity. But like, even when he's being like straight or normal, it's still got
it's
that
still
tension
there,
to it. And that still like makes it really funny. I mean, like one of the best scenes in this is when, you know, after like Igor goes and like steals the abnormal brain, brain, do not use this brain, it says. Oh, and also when he's breaking into the thing, I don't think I ever noticed this before, but on the front of the door, it says something like, after 5 p.m., slide brain through slot door or whatever. It was like the brain depository.
Another thing that he does is he never breaks character, but you can tell, and he's doing it on purpose, he's telegraphing to you that he's on the edge of fucking laughing because this shit is ridiculous. You could tell he's just underneath there. that he's pulling a joke on you, the audience, and he knows and you know. And he knows that you know that he knows. So it's kind of like he's... It's just... You'll see what I'm talking about if you've never seen the movie.
There's actually
He's definitely fucking with you.
There's actually one scene where... Well, because they said that they had to do so many takes over again because he kept cracking up. Yeah. And then everyone else would crack up, and so they'd have to do it over.
Yeah.
But there was the one scene where Madeline Kahn first gets to the castle... And Igor is like kind of like chewing on her fur stole there or whatever. I think that Gene Wilder kind of lost it in the back and they just left it in there.
But
one of my favorite things. Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because like I said, they said he just kept like cracking up because, as I said, they were ad libbing a lot of
it
stuff.
It is a very analog movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not contrived per se. It's like you're watching a really good live performance. They're definitely fucking with you.
Yeah.
They're fucking with you through the camera. So there's almost kind of like an interaction. You feel like you're watching a live performance.
But that's the thing. It's like, it's a parody, but it's an affectionate parody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like I said, they did a deep dive. I mean, it would have been very easy to just do a parody of Frankenstein. But the fact that they actually, recreated scenes from... First Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Son of Frankenstein, to the extent that they even put that inspector character in there with the wooden arm. And like I said, if you see Son of Frankenstein, like from whatever, like the 30s or whenever it came out, you think that that's a joke in the movie that he has the wooden arm and he sticks the darts in it, but he does that in the original movie too.
Oh man.
They exaggerated a little bit, like the way he talks and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the shit about him saying it's like a riot is an ugly thing and I think it's about time we had one or something like that. Fucking funny. And then like all the shit that he's saying, like everybody's like, what? Because nobody can understand his accent.
Yeah.
It's Borschnapped.
He made sense to me though.
Yeah. You can understand it.
Well, I meant on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
A riot is an ugly thing, and so we got to do it. That's the time we do it. Going, yeah, made perfect sense to me. Yeah, sounds good.
But yeah, I mean, what I was going to say, what I was started to say a long time ago, was that the scene where he, when Igor has stolen the abnormal brain because he dropped the one that he was supposed to get, and they put it in there, and then... I love Gene Wilder is just like so calm, and he's just like, come here, I want to talk to you a second. He's just like, sit down, you know what I mean? And Igor sits down, and he's like, whose brain did you, this is not the brain that I was like, no. And he's like, okay, good. And then he's like saying something like, well, whose brain is it? Abby, who?
Yeah.
Then he gets it. Well, you won't be mad. I will not be mad. You know what I mean? And it's just that whole fucking scene is great because he's just like so calm, but then he just fucking loses it like toward the end. I mean, that one and the one where he gets grabbed by the monster and then he's trying to do like fucking what do you call it? What do you call that game where you fucking try to get people to say the word.
Oh, charades.
Charades. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he's trying to do charades, like to get him to give him the sedative, and they're being all stupid.
It's so obvious what he needs.
Sedative! Like, he's just so indignant. It's, like, so fucking funny. But it's just, I mean, like I said, if you like old Universal horror movies, if you like comedies that are funny, then... I can't believe that there's anyone on this earth that has not seen this movie.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of young people that have never seen this movie.
But
it's not a movie of today. This is a movie of another era, but it's aged very well. It's kind of a timeless classic. You know, it's just, you just watch it. Watch it and enjoy. And it takes you on a little journey. And they just, it's a fucking expert cast of comedians that are putting on a story and they're just fucking with you. Through the camera.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're just fucking with you. Through the whole thing. But you're having a good time. They're telling it to you they're telling you this story in the format of a 1930s Universal horror movie.
I mean, it's just so great. Like I said, it's just such an affectionate homage.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about it is that you can watch it just on its own. You know what I mean? And it's just like funny and it's like a good story on its own too. But if you've seen the original first three Frankenstein Universal movies,
it'll be
much, much funnier because you'll be able to see exactly like what they were parodying and how close they got to actually making a movie that could have been made back then. I mean, their commitment to that was just really, really admirable.
See, I'd only seen Frankenstein. I'd never seen Son of Frankenstein, so I didn't get the inspector, the chief of police guy.
I love that dark.
There was normally a chief of the police in these horror movies, and they were all kind of like that. So yeah. I just accepted it for what it was. I didn't know it was a direct parody of a character.
Yeah.
But it makes more sense that you took
it. And I mean, he had the eye patch with a monocle over the eye patch.
Yeah, well, what's funny is that where are they supposed to be? Romania?
They said Transylvania.
Transylvania.
And they were, and Mel Brooks.
Well, everything's German.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder, they're like, look, we know that Frankenstein wasn't set in Transylvania.
Yeah.
But he's like, we decided to do that because just figured it's funnier because like everybody knows where Transylvania is. Yeah, it's like, we can't do like Ingolstadt or anything like that because people be like, where the fuck is that? Oh, but yeah, I mean, I love that whole sequence where he's playing darts with the inspector. Yeah. And like, you know, the inspector's like cheating. Like he just takes them all and he just like sneaks over there and sticks them all in the middle. And then like, he's like, you know, Gene Wilder's throwing the fucking darts at the thing and he keeps like fucking with him and just like saying a word loud while he's throwing it. So it goes out like out the window and shit like that. And then they like set it up later. It's like you see that, and then like a few minutes later when the inspector leaves in the car, like all the tires are flat because they all have darts in them.
He's got an eye patch, and the monocle is over the eye patch.
Yeah.
It took me a minute to realize what they were doing.
That's what I mean. Like, some of the best gags in it are just not referred to. And I think that's like something that really makes comedies like this work and why they're so rewatchable, because they're such like a layered experience, because a lot of the gags aren't telegraphed or they aren't, you know, they don't like draw attention to them like, hey, funny. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just they're just there. And if you notice them, then cool. And if you don't.
Yeah. They say that they're in Transylvania, but they're obviously in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, Transylvania, that's fucking Romania. That's vampires.
I know.
Well, Castle Dracula.
Well, like I said, they know.
Castle Frankenstein, that's in Germany.
They know.
Or maybe Austria, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of cool, though. It's just funny.
Well, yeah, but like I said, they were aware. They're just kind of like, we just called it Transylvania because everybody knows where that is.
Or knows that name.
It's like, like I said, we can't, because I think, like I said, I think most of Frankenstein was set in Ingolstadt, wasn't it? I think is where it was. That's where the university was.
Is that
was,
Austria where Dr. or Germany?
Shit. No, I can't remember now. I thought the borders changed a lot.
That's what I'm saying, so I can't remember exactly.
Yeah. Like when the novel came out, which was, what, 1816, 1818, something like that?
Yeah, the borders. I'm not sure even Germany existed as an independent state in the 1800s. Because I know a lot of stuff was Austria. And then there was some other stuff with like an Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the actual country of Germany as you know it today isn't very old. I think it's 1800s.
So like I said, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, probably watch the Universal ones first and then watch this one because it'll be much funnier. But I mean, that said, you don't have to have seen them. It helps, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? It makes it funnier, I think, but it's still funny even without that. Honestly, I think this is easily my favorite Mel Brooks movie. I mean, easily. I think, like I said, maybe Blazing Saddles is slightly funnier, but I don't know. That's kind of like a hard choice to make.
You at least want to see the original Frankenstein before you see this movie, though.
And
if you said Son of Frankenstein, I'd probably want to see that, too. They're not very long, those old movies.
Yeah. Well, and Bride of Frankenstein, I think, is like the best one out of all those three, so.
Man, getting on Bride of Frankenstein. You know what was fucked up about Bride of Frankenstein?
What's that?
The bride wasn't in it for very long. She didn't do very much. She only appeared at the end, and she was hot as shit, especially for the time. What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Elsa Lanchester.
You got to tell us the more story, and it ends.
Yeah.
Doesn't last for very long. It should have been a whole movie of her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
And the thing about it, well, I mean, Bride of Frankenstein, that actually, that bit was in the original novel, but it just wasn't in the original movie. You know what I mean? Because in the novel, he does end up making the monster a mate, like, later on. Yeah. So it's not like they just pulled that out of their book.
Yeah,
that was actually in the book.
He makes the bride so the original Frankenstein could have a girlfriend. And as soon as she comes to life, what does she do? She goes after the hot guy. She's not going to go after the fucking Frankenstein.
Well, I'm pretty sure
she goes after the hot guy.
In the book, she's not in it much either because it's just kind of like, you know, he makes the mate and then she's just kind of like, hey, I don't like this monster. Fuck that shit.
Yeah,
so they end up having to destroy her. Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know, what are you going to do?
Right. That's what happened.
Yeah. It's like, shit, shouldn't have given her a mind of her own.
should have made her ugly. So she didn't have a choice.
Yeah, it's like, why'd you miss? He was like, she's good looking. The monster's like funny looking. Yeah, although, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boris
they should have made equals.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's you can't have ugly ladies in movies. It's not allowed.
Well, it was true to life, though.
Yeah.
If a guy's going to make a woman and bring her to life, she's going to be hot.
Yeah.
That's who he's going to spend his money on. That's what his time is money. That's what he's going to spend his time on. But it would be money, too.
Well, yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, like a typical guy, he's not thinking it through. You know what I mean? Like a typical guy.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she's hot as shit.
Duh.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, she's not going to want to date this dude. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, well, you should probably see the movie The Bride with Sting and Jennifer Beals in it and Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Because that is pretty much tells the story of The Bride of Frankenstein, but The Bride is much more like she's actually a character.
Right.
And pretty much what happens is that Sting, as Dr. Frankenstein, he makes the lady and like you said, makes her hot. And it's just like, oh, I'm keeping this one.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the monster gets pissed off and takes off. And, but you know, Sting
that's another thing that would happen.
Yeah. Well, Sting's kind of a chode to her though. So she doesn't really like him. Like he actually falls in love with her and he like teaches her all this stuff, but he's real like possessive and shitty.
Yeah.
And, she's kind of like, yeah, no, I'm not. And she ends up with the monster anyway. Cause he's nicer to her.
Eventually these dweebs are going to start making robots that are like that. And then they're not going to get married. And there's going to be the end of the species. Just dudes making these damn robots and selling them to other dudes. And women having to buy robot boyfriends, no children. Then you have to have in vitro fertilization. And you got two parallel species, a biological one and a technological one. Imagine that.
Yeah. I'll be long dead before that happens.
Let's hope so.
I don't really care about it anyway.
I'm hoping that it doesn't really advance that far.
No, I don't think it will.
I think maybe civilization goes through cycles and eventually you
well,
go,
the thing about it is
nah,
that,
I'm not gonna do that
even if they did have the technology for that, it would probably only be like a relatively small percentage of people that would actually
do that. It'd probably be quite embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, what I mean? You know,
it'd probably be like
having a sex doll.
Yeah, that's how they would
like a real girl or whatever the fuck those things are called, like those creepy realistic ones.
There was a movie called Bicentennial Man, had Robin Williams.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they made all these robots and they got very sophisticated. But then eventually in the story, and he lived for like 200 years, eventually what happened is people stopped making them because they didn't like them.
Yeah.
And they kind of went out of style.
I kind of feel like that's probably what would happen.
Probably what would happen.
Just saying.
Let's hope, because that would be a direct competitor if they got real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm not worried about it.
Yep.
But yeah, you youngsters out there, if you haven't seen Young Frankenstein, you should watch it. It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
And even if you're old or if you haven't seen it for a long time, go watch it again. It really, really does hold up.
Yeah, held up.
I mean,
yeah.
It's still really funny. Like I said, between that and Blazing Saddles, easily his best. You know what? I should probably watch Spaceballs again. I remember loving that movie when I was a kid.
I remember not liking it.
But I don't know if it's still funny or not. I remember a lot of the gags from it, but...
I really liked History of the World and watched it fairly recently, and it didn't age well.
Yeah.
I thought the humor fucking was real lame.
Yeah, the thing. Some of the thing, and I heard that the original cut of Young Frankenstein was like, they filmed like 5 hours worth of fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally they were just like, there were so many like jokes and stuff, and some of them didn't work as well. So it's like they finally ended up cutting it down to whatever it is now, which is like an hour and 40 something minutes. But yeah, apparently it was way, way longer, but they thought that some of the jokes didn't work, so they took them all out. But, you know. But yeah, so it's on Hulu. Go watch it right now. It's super fun, and I love it. So, you know, we'll see you on the next one. Bye.